my flowers gear. I'll probably get there the night before just so I can be ready. I don't want to just show up in Austin and just head right for the tower. I might want to case it out a little bit. And look at that bad boy. Remember its history. Remember where he went wrong. I might track down that tower and stand there with my hands on my hips, smoking a camel, appraising my field of fire, until finally, the night before, I start loading up my clips. There in some stinking hotel room, I put on my camouflage. I lay out rows of grenades, rifles, pistols, sawed-off shotguns in case somebody breaks through the door on top of the tower. I can just whirl and fire. Probably take me a couple hours, because I'll be very methodic. 9mm ammo left pocket, 45 caliber right pocket, 357 in speed loaders around my waist. I'll practice strapping on all the armament. See, I intend to end the tower at the wee hours of the morning. So that consequently, I can wait. Wait for sunrise and the crowds to gather. After I get everything laid out just right, I head to the all-night diner across the street to fill my belly for the last time. Sipping coffee, looking at the all-night people. The two cops sitting there waiting for their shift to end. Little do they know, they ain't getting off their shift for another 12 hours. Because about the time they're getting ready to check in, a call come over the radio. I sit there, cleaning my plate, mopping up the eggs with my toast. I get back to the hotel and realize I've locked my keys in the room.
Oh, no!
I have no other choice but to find one of the maids. Excuse me, miss. I seem to let my keys out here. You mind opening the door for me? Sure, she'll say. She'll open the door and stand there in shocked horror as she sees all the armament laid out across the bed. Of course, I'll have no other choice but to put my hands around her throat and drag her in and throw her into the tub. I shut the door and get ready to load up and... Oh, God. What the hell is this now? Room service! Complimentary newspaper! All right, then. Drag his sorry tuchus into the tub. Start strapping on my weaponry. Start blackening my face. Building maintenance! Crying out loud! Two guys this time, one with a ladder, one with a bucket. Come on! I'm already geschwitzt, I haven't even climbed the tower. Got four stiffs in the room. Hotel management! Hello, sir. We wanted to check to see if you have your complimentary chocolates on the bed. Stacking them up like cordwood. Stacking them up high! Before you know it, the room is full. The room is fetid. Before you know it, then. Too stretched to climb the tower. Before you know it, I got 16 people in there. I can't even get it to bed. They're splayed all over my grenades. I can't even get out of the room. I mean, geez, for crying out loud. I realize I need another day. To regain my strength. Fortunately, it's just getting light, so everybody in the pool. 16 stiffs.
Your mama. Your mama is good enough for me. Your mama. Your
Well, there I was at the bus station there when I felt the urge. I figured I'd head for the porcelain convenience to make a blessed purge. Well, boy, was I ever shocked when something unsavory came through the glory hole. Here's what I yelled at him as I calmly flushed the bowl. Your mama, your mama, your mama is good enough for me. Your mama, your mama, your mama is looking good to me. Well, there I was in airborne, sitting in the plane. Hey, was I ever nervous? My guts were racked with pain. Well, when the sergeant said, stand in the door, get ready to go on green. And when the cold air hit my face, you should have heard me scream. Your mama, your mama, your mama is good enough for me. Your mama, your mama, your mama is looking good to me. When I was standing at the altar, getting ready to marry that sweat hog Estelle, ready to face a life of living hell. Well, when the preacher told me, hey, do you take her for your loving wife? Here's what I should have screamed as I ran for my life. Your mama, your mama, your mama was good enough for me.
Oba, oba.
Your mama, your mama, your mama was good enough for me. Venga conmigo a la tierra de la muerte. We went down there on Air Mexico, and at that time they had no regulation on what you could smoke on board. And there's this guy smoking his big long stogie, and Estelle was getting a little bilious. I walked back to the guy. I said, excuse me, the wife's getting a little nauseous with that. One of the biggest cigars I've ever seen in here in the aircraft. It's a little... He jumped. He said, Señor Gringo, you do not tell me what to do. I do not tell you what to do. Okay, go back to your seat and shut up. I said, I'll see you here in just a minute, sir. I mean, my wife doesn't... He said, your wife. I don't want to hear about your wife. Go back and sit down. You know what's coming here. You sit down. He blew smoke in my face. Then Estelle came walking over and said, honey, what's the story? Is he going to put out the cigar? He said, I am not going to put out the cigar for gringo pigs. And he pulled out a gun. I said, my God. He grabbed Estelle. He said, you don't like my cigar, Huamang? Maybe you try a little. You like it. He pointed that gun right between her eyes. He said, you take a puff. I looked at the end of that cigar, and it was gnarled and chewed on, glistening with spittle. I looked as he smiled at his pyre-laden gums and his hideous rank breath. He said, Homer. I said, now just a minute here. This woman is pregnant. You can't make her smoke a cigar. That's when he slowly turned the gun on me. I said, okay, gringo. You smoke the cigar. I said, well, I've always thought prenatal care was a little overrated. But everything was going smooth. Last night, we stayed up, watched a little tube, had a little chow, went to bed about 10:30, 10:45. My honey was asleep, nestled on my left pec, hair splayed across my lats, when suddenly the room grew very cold, and I could almost sense a presence, an evil presence, and I knew full well that he was coming awake. I beg your pardon, whatever happened to I am the incarnation of all that is evil? You sound like a hippie.
Oh, man, I am just right. I am just right with myself.
What are you doing? Are you on something? What's the story?
Well, I went to your medicine cabinet.
My medicine cabinet?
Yeah, man. Make love, not war. Uncle Sam's in a jam. Ohio.
What do you mean? You went to my medicine cabinet and what?
I was hungry. I was looking for something to eat. I thought maybe you had some Flintstones or something in there. And, I found some stuff, man.
Some stuff. Maybe I better call the Poison Control Center. My God, what did you take?
Well, there was a bottle of something.
Oh, God, from when I had bronchitis 6 months ago, I left half a bottle of cough medicine in there.
Yeah, there was some blue pill or something.
Oh, my God, you mean when I had that bout of nerves, that back spasm, you took the Valium and the cough medicine? How many?
All of them. Take it easy, Charles. Like, get hip. Get hip.
Stop that. Will you stop that there? What else, Zip?
I don't know, man. Like something from a dentist or something.
Oh, my God. It's Percocets and Valium and cough medicine. You're out of here. You're going to be on a slab. I'm getting out of the bed. No biting my toes.
I couldn't bite nothing now, man. If my life depended on it. I mean, like I am seeing rainbows.
You know, as much as I hate the guy, I just can't let him die. Let me see, where is he? Cinnabavipakaka!
Just call me Johnny Numb. This is die.
This is not nice. You could be out of here. You could be on a slab. And what'll I do with the body? And how will I explain it to you? Here, it's Cinnabavipakaka. Here, drink this.
Is it more good stuff, man?
Yeah, it's great stuff. Syrup and just drink the whole bottle. Drink it! Hurry!
All right, man. You mind if I just snort it?
You can snort it if you want, but just get it in your system somehow.
All right, man.
What are you doing?
Drinking the whole bottle, man.
All right, well, I lied to you. Actually, what that stuff is going to do is make you heave your guts. You got to get those narcotics out of your body. You hear me? You got to get them out of your body. You got to put up with the mess. Oh, God, this is horrible. But I'll put up with the mess because I love the guy. I just love him. I'm just so used to him.
Don't worry, man. I did not make a mess.
Huh? You didn't make a mess, but I just heard you heaving your guts.
Yeah, there's no mess. Of course, now your Stetson is going to need some repair work.
Got a space out.
Next thing you know, I'm squeezing into that Toto. Renting that Calorama apartment. Hopping around, singing to Clinton. It had to be you. It had to be you. No other guy can make me so high. It had to be you. Oh, how I feel when you make me squeal. Oh, and we make love. Neat stars above. It's just unreal. It just had to be you. Oh, it's so nice when you get a slice. It had to be you. Hit me, squeeze me, abuse me, and call me punk. And then leave me oozing gunk. It had to be you. Had to be you. It had to be you. Who's hungry? Clinton? Chili dogs, punk. Chili dogs.
I don't know.
What about you, Sly?
I don't like chili dogs.
Clinton, all we ever have is chili dogs around here.
I like chili dogs, dog meat. When I'm blowing away punks, a chili dog's what I need.
Well, you're not blowing away anybody right now. So I think we could go for something else. What about you, Sly?
Well, I would kind of like eggnog or something.
I hate eggnog.
All right, guys, let's not fight for crying. How about Chinese food? Would that be sweet?
Yeah, I would like some Mugu Daipan. Could you make me some lo mein and orange beans?
Who asked you for the menu, punk? Who said we're having Chinese?
All right, now we gotta agree on something. Can we compromise? Crying out loud. How about a pizza?
Pizza's okay, punk.
Sly?
Adrian and I always used to eat pizza. I remember one time.
Spare me the story, punk.
All right, I'll call for the pizza, okay? Let me see. Now, where did I put that menu from that place that delivers? Oh, here it is. It fell on the floor. Let me pick it up and give him a call. Okay. How do you say? Double cheese, mushroom, and half pepperoni.
Sensitive enough, but I do occasionally contemplate pithy issues. Pithy. Yes, something with pith. Something with weight in them. My honey and I were sitting around the other night. I was in my smoking jacket, and I turned to her as we were listening to some quiet music, and I brought up this question. I said, how many baked beans must one man eat before it's all he can consume? And how much cheese can be cut by one man before people leave the room? How long you think must the meatballs fry before you start going kaboom? The answer, my friend, is breaking in the wind. The answer is breaking in the wind. How many beers can be guzzled in bliss before wind is broken with glee? How many ears of corn can your stomach ingest before you start on your spree? How many times can a man stuff his face till he's so full he can't even see? The answer, my friend, is breaking in the wind. The answer is breaking in the wind. How many times can you refill that cup or come back for more pecan pie? How many bees must one man have before he can hear people cry? How much hot food will it take till he knows his favorite beans are refried? The answer, my friend, is breaking in the wind. The answer is breaking in the wind.
You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell. You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
The answer is breaking in the wind.
Whoa, it's the Grease Man on DC 101.
But you know, people always see a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, that's what they think when they, like people that have heart attacks and they're resuscitated, they see themselves floating away. I don't know if that's me, you know?
Oh, I still cover my bases. Yeah, I don't know if I buy that, but I still every now and then go to confession. You know, it couldn't hurt, right? It couldn't hurt.
And since I've been a member of the church for a long time, it's required that you go. I go to Our Lady of Inadvertent Flatulence, and I had a pretty good confession the other day. I walked through the door. Sometimes just walking through the door, you know, you feel better. And I zipped into the confessional. I said, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned."
Don't let your swing bug you, Dad. so the moldy figs aren't with you. That's cool, man. That's fine. That's cool.
Thank you, Father. I have, well, it's been 6 months since my last confession.
Dad, before I fade, tune me in. Like, what's with this date? Well, make the scene.
Well,
I come in.
I try to come in, but, you know, I get busy. And, you know, and, well, I got overtime work.
Hey, man, that's a drag.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you do the Sinatra? I mean, you got to be large after the squares you've let blow.
Well, no, we're kind of like hard rock at DC 101. But anyway, to be honest with you, I've also like, wailed away 3 times last week.
Hey, man, you're coming like a mushroom cloud.
That's just what it looks like.
Them cats are trying to nod that.
Really?
You might grabble and you'll have a hassle with the castle.
Well, no, my honey doesn't mind, so there is no hassle at the castle, as you put it. But I do feel kind of bad in that I occasionally, you know, utter oaths. Like I hit my thumb with a hammer the other day and I was cursing and,
Yeah, man, I got your signal. Clear and cool.
You got it?
But the pheeps are in with it.
The pheeps? What is that? Is it like a Hail Mary? How, I gotta say 3 pheeps? And what is your pheep, for crying out loud? You get me upset here.
Hey, man, that's like a soap opera.
A soap opera?
I mean, give us some groovy whale.
Groovy whale. Okay. But that's what I'm here for. I've been whaling. You don't understand, Father. I have been whaling away.
Well, you got to spell it out to the squares, Dad. I mean, you can't go switching channels. They aren't tuned in.
All right. Well, anyway, I've been cleaning up with the paper towels in the aftermath of my Shangri-La.
Hey, man, use your wig. You're going to spook the cats with that kick.
I don't use a wig. I don't wear a wig. And paper towels is what I use.
Man, the tubes in my Kemp are goofing off, so I made the scene to dig you like live.
What's that? Anyway, I would just like to say that I'm sorry for my sins, and I hope you can forgive me.
You, man, you are a clown.
What?
You know that shot? I mean, like, play it cool.
But, Father...
Shape up.
Oh, I'm trying to shape up. That's why I'm here. You understand what I'm...
Look, Dad, my iron catches your jazz, but I don't dig it.
Well, I don't care.
That Elizabeth cast solid. Man, but who can sound it? I mean, as for squares, I mean, like, switch channels, Dad. Or you will bring home the Charles.
The Charles?
The bread. I mean, like, you know, the money.
Well, I'm going to leave money in the collection plate. I just want you to please... please forgive me.
Oh, man, you're spinning your wheels.
All right, thank you.
You're like you're going nowhere.
Yeah,
Tom DeFault.
All right. I guess that's it, then.
Hey, man. I made the scene here, you know, dig you like live.
Okay, well, I'll be live tomorrow morning on DC 101, so I hope you can tune in, and I hope you get some of the jargon that I use.
I'm hip.
Good, okay. And I'll see you later, then. I gotta go. I'm late.
I'm hip.
All right, thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm hip.
Okay, you're hip.
Right. Like what you said, man. I'm hip.
All right, I just want benediction. Do you hear me? I want benediction there. Hey, are you hip to that?
Look, Charles, look. I mean, it's not hip anymore. Look, it's hip. You know, not hips. You know, that's so far out. It's hip.
All right, I'm hip.
Say, I'm hip.
I'm hip.
You like got it?
I got it.
Cool.
I'm out of here. You shouldn't drag young kids to funerals. I'll buy that. I'll buy that. Especially the people who have that custom of kissing the dearly departed goodbye. Yeah, that, I don't know. I guess each to his own, whatever makes each family feel better. But I can see not taking... young kids to funerals, I mean, something they'll never forget, something that may affect their life and how they look at society and love. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock with the grease money, I've been affected that way myself, back in the Bronx. Oh, yeah, back in the Bronx, Lord knows, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy! I was trembling, oh, yeah, back in the concourse, yeah. My name was Dino Grease Minnelli, but everybody called me Johnny Rico. And I remember when Grandma Grease Minnelli passed away. She was 96 years old, so we was kind of expecting it. So they dragged me to the funeral, and everybody's lined up, and they say, Johnny, go up and kiss her. I said, what? You want me to kiss a stiff? You ain't lying in the box? You want me to lean in there? And Mom said, hey, show a little respect. She ain't gonna be around anymore. You want to say your final goodbye? I said, I'll say my final goodbye across the room, right? I mean, Mom, I didn't go out with Dolores Del Vecchio because she was 8 pounds overweight. I didn't go out with Mary Ellen Pianin because she had a zit on the tip of her nose.
right. I don't even play spin the bottle. I mean, I don't even tell people to kiss off. You want me to walk up to the box? You got a 96-year-old lady in there on a slab, and you want me to kiss her? Well, Pop got mad about that, and he came at me. I ended up backing up. We were knocking over flowers. Urns were smashing. It was like, he said, you kiss her. You kiss her. I ain't gonna kiss. He said, it means a lot to me if you'd kiss Grandma goodbye. She was a good woman, and she always liked you. She always brought you candy when you were a kid. She always took you for long walks. And Pop said, not only that, you give her a smooch, I'll triple your allowance. I said, well, I guess. And I walked up to her. She was lying there. I puckered up. I said, what the hell? At least this is one babe I am sure is not going to kiss and tell. Eh? And he writes, dear Greece, it's a big day in my life. Today's the day I graduate from medical school. And it was a long, hard road, and I couldn't have done it without my younger brother, Benny. You see, I was taking a required course, and I had to buy a textbook that was $150. Well, I didn't have the money. And I knew I'd never pass without that book. And I was thinking of putting my medical career on hold, maybe getting a job for a year and coming up with the cash, when Benny came up to me and had a coffee can full of bills. He said, Eddie, these are all the tips I've been saving for my paper route to buy my 10-speed. But my 10-speed can wait. Your medical career can't. So take this money and be the best darn doctor this town's ever seen. Well, Grease, I took the money, bought the book, and now I'm graduating. Needless to say, when I get the money from my first patient, I'm not going to open a trust or a CD. I'm buying a 10-speed. And if you could read this over the air so I could have a tape also to give to Benny with the 10-speed, I'd appreciate it because he listens to you every day. Signed, Dr. Ed.
You're rocking with Washington.
It's a part-time work. You know, I occasionally hire out for a party or an event, you know, and I don't normally go to people's birthday parties, but this guy wanted to pay me big bucks because his kids were big fans, and they were having a birthday party, and he thought they'd really freak out if I just came out as the surprise guest. And, of course, the guy hadn't listened to me that much, but his kids had, you know, and I'm hiding out in the kitchen. And the kids are going through the gift opening procedure, and I'm getting hungry, you know, because normally when I hire out, people feed me and everything, and I'm in there in the kitchen, I'm hungry, and I look out, they got all the cake and the cold cuts and the 18-foot-long submarine sandwiches all out in the living room, and so I open the refrigerator, and they got, like, relish in there and mustard and so a can of Ready Whip. And I took that Ready Whip, man, and filled my mouth with whipped cream, and you ever do that? I mean, that is totally decadent, you know, I'm standing there, and other kids are playing pin the tail on a donkey, and I'm getting hungry, so I take another hit of Ready Whip. My cheeks bulging out like a squirrel hibernation. Well, I went back to take a third shot of that Ready Whip, and I guess I didn't push down hard enough on the nozzle because the whipped cream didn't come out, but the gas did. You know, whatever that is, that CO2 whippet kind of gas they put in there. I mean, I took a it went right down my throat. And then, wouldn't you know, they said, and now, kids, a special surprise. Here's the Grease Man. I came walking out of that kitchen saying,
Black.
My arms in front of me like Dawn of the Dead.
Black.
Of course, the kids thought it was hilarious, you know. All I could say was,
Black.
See, whenever they put in that whipped cream, somehow it was buzzing around my brain.
I'm ready to go. When I put them on, I'm a cool daddy-o.
I just started wandering around the room. I walked into the coffee table. Right over. The presents. Down in a heap. One of the kids threw a dart stuck in my tuchus. I didn't say anything, but...
I'm ready to go.
When I put them on, I'm a cool daddy-o.
I grabbed a small child and started playing him like an air guitar. I was working my fingers up and down his nose like they were the frets. My right hand on his belly, playing him, but he was liking it. I was tickling him. Yeah. The father said, put that child down. I just looked at the father, smiled, and said, he said, this is what the kids listen to on the radio every day? I don't understand it. I don't know that. You see, he didn't know that I wasn't really myself. Dad had no way of realizing that something was wrong with me. Albeit temporary, I was still drooling like a loon.
I'm ready to go.
I grabbed his kid and started playing him like an air guitar again. The kid loved it. Because it tickles when you play a child like an air guitar. Especially when you go for the wah-wah pedal, you know. Using his hydraulics as a wah-wah. He was like spacing it. Yeah, you like that, don't you? Oh, that is sweet.
I'm ready to go.
Well, all the kids thought it was great. You know, they were all so... They're going nuts. I just kind of zombied my way back into the kitchen. And you know, it was time to get paid, of course. And the father saying, well, you know, it beats the heck out of me. But I don't understand it. But the kids liked it. So if that's what you do, when you get paid for it, more power to you. He said, how long you been working on that act? I just smiled and said,
boom, lily, wah, wah, beep. Whoa, yeah.
He said, you entertainment people are just...
There's more in store with the Grease Man.
Ooh, daddy, daddy.
Yeah. On DC 101.
The wacky tune at Black Slacks is this one. I always grin when I sing.
Zip-a-dee-doo-dad, zip-a-dee-yay. My, oh, my, won't you look at them sway. Plenty of... Head my way. Zippity-doo-dad, zippity-yay. Mr. Gornad's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dad, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling, a wonderful day. Zippity-doo-dads, everybody. Next time you see an old friend you haven't seen in a long time, don't go yope or hey, buddy. Just scream zippity-doo-dad and watch his face light up. Mr. Gornad's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dad, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful day.
Zippity-doo-dads, everybody. It's 25 before 9. Work the
transmissions with finesse. That's the way. That's it. All right. All right. Head around into the open sea. Let everybody at the dock hear the sound of glory. Yeah. The good ship Grease. I've decided that it's going to be a part of my retirement. See, when I finally give up the shrieking and reeking, when I've finally amassed that ample estate that'll allow me to live a life of leisure. I've decided that I'm not going to completely retire because, I mean, let's face it, how much golf can you play? How much canasta? I don't want my brain to rot, so I think I'm going to become a waterman. Work out on the bay every day. Good, clean work. God's work. But, you know, most watermen are out there in a 28-foot boat with an outboard. I'll be out on the good ship Greece. I'll be the only yachtsman that's a waterman. 57 feet of sleek fiberglass. Captain Martinez will be working the rake, yanking the oysters out. Young Steve will be going through them, taking only the plump ones and throwing the old ones away. Benson will be throwing traps over the side. My honey will be cooking up 9-course meals in the galley as I sit there overseeing the procedure in my blue blazer, ascot, captain's hat, tilted at a jaunty ankle with a vodka gimlet. My traps will stand out on the bay. You'll know you're passing through Greaseman's area. When you see my traps, they'll have little lights on them that blink on and off and play a gentle somber beat. In case it's foggy, I can always find my trap. It'll be sweet. I mean, that way I can keep my hand active and something. I can have a little business on the side. Of course, the tally sheet won't look too good at the end of the year. Total cost of equipment, $10,000. Bait, $350. Salaries of young Steve, Captain Martinez, and Benson, $100,000. Total profit, $2,362. But oh, those are some good oysters. I mean, they are sweet.
Changing the way Washington talks, it's the Grease Man.
A little tuna fish.
Now, what do we say when we're in West Virginia? Well, we generally say... I'm a West Virginia guy, a West Virginia boy. West Virginia is my pride and joy. West Virginia's good enough for me. And I said, I'm a West Virginia guy with a twinkle in my eye. West Virginia's good enough for me. West Virginia's good enough for me. Well, there's this little boy, and he's at the county fair with his mom and his dad. Well, mama goes off to play one of the games, and the little boy goes up to his daddy and says, Daddy, you see Becky Sue over there? I'm in love with her. I'm going to marry her. And the daddy whispers to the boy, well, son, actually, you can't marry Becky Sue because, you see, one time her mama and I was at the fair together, and she's kin to you. And the boy's a little disappointed, and he goes off, plays, rides the shoots in the Ferris wheel, and then he gets to talking to Mary Lou. And he realized how sweet she is. And he goes up to his daddy and says, Daddy, I think I'm going to marry Mary Lou. And his daddy says, well, son, you can't marry Mary Lou. Because, you see, her mom and me, we was at the fair one time together. And, well, she's kin to you. Now the little boy is really depressed. But like a gift from heaven, there she is, skin tight overall. Little old pigtails, blonde hair, cute as dimples and freckles. Name is Susie Q, and the boy tells his daddy, Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to marry Susie Q. His daddy shakes his head, I'm sorry, son, you can't. Because her mom and me was at the fair together, and she's kin to you. Well, now the boy's all depressed. Finally, he finds his mama. He says, Mama, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to marry anybody. I told Daddy I wanted to marry Becky Sue, Mary Lou, and Susie Q. Daddy said he was at the fair with all their mamas and they're kin to me. And the mama whispers to the boy, don't listen to your father, because he ain't your daddy. Sometimes I wonder myself how I gave up a life walking into the OR, throwing my arms skyward, screaming, these hands have been touched by God.
My specialty, OBGYN. And I'll never forget one birth that was different than the rest. A baby I delivered that, you know, gets to be so routine after a while. You get the call from the woman. I think it's time, doctor. All right, meet me at the hospital. Well, I'm going about my normal procedures. She was doing natural childbirth, and so I had her on the table, splayed, and ready to deliver. When I reached in to grab the baby, and the baby stuck his head out and went, holy God! Dumper and Jiminy Cricket, look at that! Jiminy Cricket! Well, we all jump back, you know, and the woman's going, what's going on? I'm trying to maintain my dignity. I said, I'm not sure. I let me see. Hey, get back! You lousy little lamb. We'll get you out of there. You want to play hardball with me? You play with the wrong MD! Play with the wrong guy! Yeah, you know, normally it'd be like scapel, suture, sponge, 357. I tell you what, this isn't working. Tell you what, give me a half stick of dynamite. Mister, just hang on a second here. Let me wedge this in here. Yeah, shut up. Everybody under the operating table! All right, I think we got it. Wait a minute, let me pull it. There we go. All right, thank God. It was sweat rolling down my body, still shaking. I walked out to the waiting room to notify the husband. He was all excited, his eyes twinkling. He said, well, Doc, well, how'd it go? I said, well, it was a difficult delivery, to say the least. When you get down to the maternity ward and look through the glass in the viewing room, yours is the green one. That bad boy twitchy. And 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's good. Let's do some ones we haven't done in a very, very long time. Let's do the waiter. The waiter. Grab that thing like a pepper mill and twist the top and say, fresh pepper. Fresh pepper. Twist that top like a pepper mill. Oh, that's nice. It's good. It will. It feels so good. It feels so fine when you do that thing on your big behind. Let's do some comedic ones. The Groucho. Yeah, both thumbs on top of the hydraulics. Fingertips of each hand. And lifting up the doorbots like Groucho glasses. Call the Groucho. And I just mark them thumbs. That's it. Yeah. Ooh, that is so good. Oh, man. All right, let's do the whirly bird. Spin that thing like a rotor blade. You got it made. The whirly bird. That's good, and ooh, that's sweet, and oh, so fine, and so complete, and ooh, that's good, ooh, that's nice, ooh, that's good, with it once or twice, and ooh, that's good, and ooh, that's right, and ooh, let's do chopsticks. Pair off. And I've dropped some pencils on the floor, and two guys get together, use those bad boys like chopsticks, see if you can pick up the pencil. Yeah, there you go. That's good. A couple of guys got it. That's good. All right, drop the pencils. Let's do milk and the cow. Grab them two dots. Yellow pages. Let your fingers do the walk. All right, pull it in the anchor. Yeah. Shucking the clam. Come on, shucking the clam. Use your thumb like a clam shucking. That's it, yeah. Let that fingernail bite. Oh, that is so good. All right, the electrician. Run to the nearest wall socket. Shut down. Oh, that is so good. All right, let's do the octopus. You need five guys to do this. Everybody put a hand on it. Five hands on one. That's good. The octopus. Oh, that's good. Let's do the Jimmy Hoffa. Yeah, take the whole thing. Hydraulics,
Those two dads that ever put your knees together, thrust the whole thing behind you. You can't see it, right? It's the Jimmy Hoffa. Oh, yeah, reach around behind you. There you go. There you go. And, oh, that's good. And, oh, that's nice. Bronco busted. One hand in the air like you riding a fucking bronco. That's great. Everybody together? Let's end with the Elvis. Sneer. Say, uh-huh. And work your left leg as you achieve Shangri-La. Here we go. Nicely done, gentlemen. Very nicely done. Now, that's it. Grab the shirt tail of the man in front of you. There you go. Attaway. Attaway. That's it. There you go. That's right. Yeah. All right. Now, you guys in front, of course, have no shirt tails to use. But keep in mind, next time we get together, you guys will be in the back row. And you'll also get to use the shirt tails and be able to write the John Hancock when we perform that maneuver. So, everybody gets a turn. Here in the world of the six-minute workout. It's 17 minutes before 10 o'clock with the Grease Man moseying through another day. Good morning.
Hi, Grease.
Hello.
I got a problem.